to sort of bring us back to where we started in this discussion of Zimbabwe. And of course, Obi Igbuna is the U.S. correspondent to the Zimbabwean Herald, and Mr. Tom Porter is also joining the discussion. A couple of people whose opinions on other matters I agree with quite often have raised a number of critical questions about Robert Mugabe and Zimbabwe that I want to get you to address as we wrap up here. John Pilger is one of them, a European journalist who has done a lot of good work on, as far as I could tell, on other areas of, international politics. He says that Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe is an appalling tyrant is beyond all doubt. And then he goes into why this is, why it's hypocritical for those who are critical of Mugabe to support the United States and others for their history and their relationship to the British Empire and so on, and to the Saudi royal family and so on. But then he goes on to what he does is in a very curious way. Associates Mugabe as part of the black bourgeoisie warned against by Frantz Fanon in Wretched of the Earth, and pits Mugabe against other leaders such as Cabral, Ken Saro-Wiwa of Nigeria, and Chris Hani of South Africa. So I'd like you to respond to that that overall general characterization of Mugabe. Then, of course, Bill Fletcher, another a friend of ours at blackcommentator.com, certainly someone I refer to in terms of his analysis in so many other areas, has said, though he is not a supporter of MDC, does say that Mugabe accepted the structural adjustment policies that resulted in greater levels of impoverishment of Zimbabwe's workers and farmers. And then he says that the seizures of land held by white farmers has added to these deplorable conditions in Zimbabwe and throughout the Zimbabwe. And then lastly, Amnesty International says similarly that Zimbabwe is in, quote, economic shambles, that Mugabe has had to deny the fact that it hasn't been able to feed itself through its own crop production. And then where it says, according to Amnesty International, that the World Food Program has been feeding 1.8 million people in Zimbabwe and Malawi, of course, suggesting that these conditions are the result of Mugabe's policies as opposed to sanctions or drought or anything else. So sort of in your concluding comments, could you respond to what these people are saying and lead us out of this discussion this afternoon?
In terms of the gentleman external to our community that you talked about, I don't feel that what he has to say needs to be dignified at all, because what it does is it diverts attention away from the first of all, his lips are real loose, because when he uses the term dictator, he automatically puts President Mugabe in the same category with Mobutu, the same category with Hufedbwini, the same category with Lasana Conte, some of the most ruthless, treacherous dictators the African continent has known. Then he tries to cover it up by comparing him to those African leaders that he prefers. He I don't know what his points of reference are. I don't know who he talks to on the ground in Zimbabwe, and we can bring him on this show at some point so that we can clear that up. Going into the whole human rights concept, I think that dealing with this human rights issue is very critical, because it transcends, first of all, colonialism and slavery are crimes against humanity. And these human rights groups don't use that as their pretext. And if the African continent and us as sons and daughters of Africa are ancestral products of colonialism and slavery, we start the question of humanity and human rights.
But wait a minute,
our
Obi.
That's our point of reference.
Because Barack Obama said in his speech in Ghana that colonialism and neocolonialism are no longer an issue, and we should stop doing that. Listen to your president.
No, and the reason I say that is because if you look at the definition that Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have imposed on the world, Harriet Tubman was violating the human rights of the person who she held a gun to and said, "Dead men don't tell no tales." It was his human right to go back to the plantation and show the slave master the trail of the Underground Railroad. It is the human right of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions to take money from the U.S. and British government to start MDC. It is the human right of MDC to work with the European Union to impose sanctions on their own people. It's their human right. right, it's the human right of the Archbishop of Botswana to start correspondence with MDC last year saying that they're willing to help organize a police force if Tsvangirai comes to power. So it's their human right to betray their people. It's their human right to compromise our integrity. In terms of what Bill Fletcher says, he keeps, when he was the executive director of Trans Africa, I raised this with him. He canceled four debates with me, three on this station and one on Radio One. You keep saying you don't support MDC, but the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, the trade union you support, is where the Westminster Fund for Democracy, all three parties in Britain, the Labour Party, the Conservative Party, and the Liberal Democratic Party, put up the U.S. dollars and British pounds to start MDC. Tsvangirai was Secretary General of this trade union that these people with this trade unionist background keep talking about. That's why I strategically started the discussion by paying tribute to Joseph Masika, the late vice president, who was a trade unionist, and showed that these so-called trade union experts had no dialogue with him whatsoever. What these people have been reduced to now is treating President Mugabe and ZANU-PF's policies like a teacher treats the quiz or exam of one of their students. You were right here. You were wrong there. But the real question is, what have they done to campaign for the lifting of the sanctions? If they're over 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, what did you do between 1980 and 2000 to make sure that the United States and Britain honored their agreement to the Lancaster House negotiations, in particular on the question of land? So if you have no track record of doing that work between 1980 and 2000, and from 2000 up to 2009, you haven't raised any question about the sanctions, you haven't campaigned for any positive, you haven't defended the land reclamation program in Zimbabwe, and you say, the fact he used the word seizure, it was land reclamation. You don't seize what belongs to you. Palestinians can't seize Gaza, seize Ramallah. The Irish in Northern Ireland can't seize Belfast. Our brothers and our Native American sisters and brothers can't seize this country. They can reclaim it because it belongs to them. And that is all that's happened. And for people like that to pretend that the sanctions against Zimbabwe are not a vindictive and cowardly response to the land reclamation program and Operation Sovereign Legitimacy fighting off neocolonialist ventures in the Congo, then that's absolute dishonesty. And we should no longer expend any time dignifying it. Thanks for your time. And like I said, please go to Jarrett's website and check out the interview with George Charamba, President Mugabe's spokesperson, his appeal to the National Association of Black Journalists and the National Newspaper Publishers Association, and President Mugabe's speech from the UN. He did Marcus Garvey proud, who went before the League of Nations and charged the U.S. with genocide, and Du Bois and Monroe Trotter and others who've used that UN platform. And we know raising the issue of U.S. foreign and domestic policy at the UN is what caused Malcolm X's life. Long live Zimbabwe. Long live Africa. Thank you much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Porter, real quick, you had a quick statement. I'm sorry, we just run out of time.
Well, you know, I think that the problems of Africa, indeed the problems of people of color around the world, is due to imperialism and neocolonialism. But the solution to those problems lay within the people. The problem of African people in this country is a direct result of slavery. But the solution to the problems of black people, they're within our hands, and we must build a pan-African movement, a mass movement in this country.
And as Obi said, you can check us out online at voxunion.com. That's V as in voice, O, X as in Malcolm, union.com. Thanks, everybody. And as you're going to hear from Fred Hampton in a moment, to you, we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. Peace.
Flash it. New things. This is a song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No eyes to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this.
man, if you think about me, then you ain't gonna do no revolutionary action. Forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people.
You have to understand that you have to pay the price of peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation.